Fed debate is a slightly different one today because the Euros are fast incoming, starting on Friday. Exciting times ahead, and I'm joined by Tom, and we're going to be doing some Euros predictions. Tom, how are you doing?
All right, thanks, mate. Yeah, not too bad. Excited for the international tournament to start. It feels like we're overdue one. Quite odd that it's still called Euro 2020. What? 2021? But yeah, looking forward to it, mate. You?
So, yeah, looking forward to it. Firstly, I'm going to chuck out a question straight away, and it's not a prediction question. It's more just around, as you said, it's been delayed a year. What's your perception on the impact of the delay? Because obviously Trent, from a Liverpool point of view, has suffered a muscle injury. I would imagine he's not going to be the last player to suffer a muscular injury throughout the tournament, purely because of just the amount of games everyone's played over the last season. But do you think, in a weird way, the delay has almost benefited England as a team, because you've got breakthrough players now like Foden, who a year ago probably wouldn't have been definitely wouldn't have been a starter, but possibly wouldn't have even been in the squad. What do you think the position of England is now compared to if the Euros had have happened last summer?
Yeah, it's a good question that to start with, Matt, actually. I mean, obviously, like you say, Trent would have been there and thereabouts. Not thereabouts, actually. Trent would have been starting for England if this was rolled back a year ago, I'd imagine. If we're to predict, which we will do, the Croatia lineup, I'd imagine there'll be two lads in there that, like you say, might not have even been in the squad. I think Foden and Grealish arguably could both start. I don't think either of them would have gone if it was this time last year.
And Mason Mount probably wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, I mean, Southgate's always had a soft spot for Mason Mount, but he certainly wouldn't be a key figure in the squad like he is now, and he definitely wouldn't have been a Champions League winner like he is now either. I must say, to go back to your question about the congestion and how much football's been played, I'm surprised that there aren't as many big dropouts from the tournament. Trent's the notable, I say he's the notable world star that's missing from the tournament. It was ridiculous, the conversation that he might not even be picked. But if you think about, the top footballers in Europe, he's the best of the bunch who are out injured for the tournament. I'm surprised there aren't more who've struggled, what with fixture congestion and so on. With regard to benefiting England, it has to, doesn't it? The experience that some of these players have had at the top end of competitive football will be invaluable for us, no doubt. But then it's always a bit of a lucky dip when it comes to England at international tournaments.
That is true. But I do think whatever happens in this tournament, the upward trend that we're on looks positive for the future. So having a year's worth of football under the belts of the likes of Sancho, Mount, all of the players we've just named, basically. I think a year ago, like Croatia being our main competition in our group, their best players have all aged significantly in that time.
The Croatia generation have had their day in the sun, haven't they?
We're at the other end of the curve, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, without doubt. Yeah. We've got one of the most exciting young squads in the tournament. Obviously, France, you look at the squad they put out for the under-21s tournament, albeit they didn't win it. You look at that team and squad, in fact, and say a lot of them would be amongst the best players in the majority of the rest of the competition's first team squads, let alone only in their international under-21 squad. But In terms of young, exciting players, England are well stacked. It's just whether he can get them to work together or not.
Yeah, and obviously games now at Wembley, which is amazing, really, because given what's happened in the last year and in the pandemic situation, Wembley now being seen as pretty much the main stadium for the big games is a big boost. And if we did get to the latter stages of the tournament, that would also be just incredible to be in the country, obviously home soil. You never know, bringing it home. But we're not going to just talk about the impact of Corona, because that is dead chat these days. We're going to go through
basically our predictions.
It's on the banned conversation list, yeah. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether you thought we're better placed now, because I think we are. And in fact, this all came about, I was just reading before we started recording this, about Joe Allen, one of our old boys. And if the tournament had have been played last summer, he wouldn't have been in the team because he had quite a serious Achilles injury. And now Wales obviously qualified and he is fit and raring to go. So big up Joe Allen, one of our old boys.
What a better place the tournament will be for having Wee Joe there.
Wee Joe, yeah, him and Ramsey, and I quite like the Welsh team, I have to say. But yeah,
there are quite a few of these squads who are frozen in time. I mean, to go back to your question about England's younger generation, the Wales core is the same as it has been for a long time. Same with Croatia. Same with quite a few of the other squads. It's strange. The evolution of the members of the England squad who are important has changed quite a lot more than some of the other international teams.
Yeah, it's been rapid, actually, hasn't it? But I do think that's probably because of the season that the players have had. Like, you cannot ignore the fact that, you know, Mount has just won the Champions League. Foden's just been, and not just won it, they've been key players. You know, Foden's just won the Premier League. You've got Mason Greenwood, who's, you know, scored, albeit he's dropped out of the squad, but scoring goals for Manchester United. They're players that you can't really ignore now because of the seasons they're having. And I think that's probably the big difference. Whereas before, you even someone like Jude Bellingham, you know, you're not taking him because he's a young talent. He's actually playing and he's playing well, even though he's so young.
Jude Bellingham is one of the best players in the England squad. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to be one of the most important players in the team, but I think he's one of the best footballers in the squad. And as you say, he's made such an impact at Dortmund. They seem to love him there. The Bundesliga widely respects him. He's been, I'm really looking forward to seeing more of Jude Bellingham. He's a player, as you know, on my wish list for Liverpool, but I think we can probably consider that one impossible. But, we can all dream.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's get going. So we're going to start with your golden boot prediction. So who are you picking?
So, I mean, I'm absolutely not going to go with the bookies and say Harry Kane, largely because I don't particularly think England will go too far, but we'll come to why. My suggestions for the golden boot are that it's going to go to France. Now, a lot hinges on who's going to take penalties for them, but if you're going to press me for an answer, I'm going to say Karim Benzema.
Interesting, because he is not in the front three favourites for the golden boot, but I also like the look of Benzema, I have to say.
The script written for him, I think, to come back into the squad.
Yeah,
and the reception he got from the French fans as well. Did you see those videos doing the rounds of kids all waiting around their phones, seeing who was getting the nod to the squad and going absolutely mental when they heard Benzema?
Yeah, well, it's such a strange story, that one, isn't it? Just the controversy that surrounded him in France is unbelievable, considering how elite a football player he is.
That's mad. He's been one of the best strikers of this generation.
Yeah,
without question. And, you know, it's not as if France have struggled, which perhaps had they been struggling, they might have been inclined to go from a bit further. But the French selection's always been weird. Do you remember Raymond Domenech used to pick people based on their star signs? Or he wouldn't take defenders of a certain star sign or something mad like that.
Well, it's allowed players like Giroud to play a lot of, probably more minutes for France than he does for club football these days.
It's crazy. If you were to observe football purely on an international basis, you'd think Giroud was one of the best players in the world. I read a statistic the other day. He's not far off taking over Henri as France's top all-time goal scorer.
Fucking hell, that is outrageous, isn't it?
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right, so Karim Benzema for you then. I'm going to have to go Romelu Lukaku. I think he's had an unbelievable season, and I just fancy Belgium to absolutely twat their group, to be quite honest.
It's hard to overlook Belgium's group, isn't it? And also their quality. Belgium and Holland have got to the easiest groups. Memphis would have been up there for my suggestion, but I don't think Holland will go that much further beyond the groups. Obviously, it depends on how it all plays out. But yeah, getting goals in the group stages tends to get you the golden boot, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it does. And I think you're right about Kane. I would also avoid him. I can't believe how much... how bigged up Kane is getting, I have to say. And I know, like, people listen to this thinking Kane is unbelievable. And I also know that you know that I've been a critic of Kane for a long time. But
neither of us really like Harry Kane.
I just don't think he scored enough goals. No,
I mean he doesn't seem to fit the system. You can't you can't really deny that he's a world class goal scorer.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he's a world class goal scorer. You can't really deny that. He's been doing it year after year, but he doesn't really seem to fit in with the style of the team necessarily. No. I mean, perhaps scrap that a little bit because Southgate looks like he's going to end up playing as many defensive players as he can, and Kane in a defensive system with fast wing players off him is more useful. But when we were flooding the team with quick give and go footballers, he doesn't seem to fit, dropping deep to come and get the ball, playing largely with his back to goal, sniffing around the box. It didn't really seem to fit with, you know, when the lineup looked much more like it was going to be two of Rashford, Sancho or Sterling alongside him. It didn't really seem to work. Now, perhaps now that you're going to maybe look at Foden and Grealish in and around him with Henderson and Rice or Phillips and Rice or Mount and Rice, or I don't know, it depends on fitness and who he picks in the back three, but Kane perhaps fits a little bit more in with that. But yeah, I don't know. Perhaps I just don't like the bloke. I just don't really like Harry Kane. I find it hard to get on board with him.
One thing he is good at is deadly penalties. I guess obviously his World Cup antics were heavily influenced by scoring penalties, and I do think that maybe Sterling probably coming out of the starting 11 contributes maybe to less penalties being won, because we'll have less players running directly in the box, and I'd imagine that we'd have more control sort of just outside the box. But he is obviously certain to take penalties for England, so that could have a major part on it, I think. If we move on then, because Kane is also one of the favourites to be player at the tournament. I think he's third favourite, but I would certainly overlook him. But who do you think then is going to be player of the tournament? Does that link closely, do you think, to the Golden Boot or someone else?
I think international tournaments struggle to overlook top goal scorers, don't they? I mean, it was Griezmann last night in 2018, but I don't think Antoine Griezmann will repeat that. Without being too France-centric, I think it is probably going to be a French player. Surprisingly, we haven't mentioned Kylian Mbappe yet, really, at length. I think that dovetail of Mbappe and Benzema is going to win the tournament for France, in my opinion. So I think one of them will be top goal scorer and perhaps the other one will be player of the tournament. In truth, it's more likely to be Mbappe top goal scorer and Griezmann player of the tournament. And Benzema laying him on as player of the tournament. That's more of a sort of fairy tale in a way, what with Benzema's return plus Benzema's assist return is always incredible. I think he got 9 assists in La Liga this season, and 22 goals. But I think it's probably more likely to be that way around. So, you know, I'm not really sure why I suggested Benzema as my tip for the Golden Boot. Perhaps it was more looking at the price you'd get, because the bookies obviously fancy Mbappe to be more likely than Benzema. But yeah, I think it's going to be one of those two.
Yeah, they're a frightening pair, aren't they? But I am going to stick with my Belgium shout and go for Kevin De Bruyne. I think post-Champions League loss, he's going to be pumped, providing that his face is still intact after.
I was going to say, the Rudiger nudge. Is he going to be wearing the brace?
I think he'll be wearing a brace, yeah. But yeah. I just fancy Belgium to really hammer a couple of teams. I'm looking at the Finland game and I'm looking at the Russia game, possibly even the Denmark game.
All of them, really, isn't it? Yeah. Denmark.
I wouldn't be surprised if they hammered all three of them.
They could put 3 past all of them, couldn't they, easily?
Yeah, and he's clearly going to be absolutely essential to everything that they do if they're going to go far here. And while I think Lukaku is going to get the Golden Boot, he's more of like a flat track bully, I think, and De Bruyne is the one who's the real class of the show. And it pains me to say it, but I also think Bruno Fernandes is going to have a very good tournament.
Do you actually? Because I've been thinking about Bruno, and whilst, you know, whilst his numbers are undeniably been really good for United, I get the sense that Ronaldo's going to cramp his style a little. Bruno's not going to be taking any free kicks or pens for a start, is he?
No, true. I read a great article recently, actually, about Ronaldo being part of the problem, in that they're kind of similar to us, where they've got a resurgence of players coming through, like a lot of young talent and emerging talent. You could even call sort of Bruno a kind of an emerging talent, because it's only really the
last
two years that he's exploded out of Sporting. and also our boy Diogo Jota. And then you've got the old guard, Ronaldo, who steals the limelight from all of these players and still wants to be the main man, but he's just not as mobile as he was, you know, 5 years ago. So it was a great article, and it was basically saying that they're often better without him, but he is 100% going to be starting.
Juve dropped him towards the end of the season, didn't they? But yeah, Ronaldo will be starting for Portugal, and he'll be on every free kick, every penalty, every corner if he wants it.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing about their squad is that if you look at the likes of Jota and Pedro Gonçalves, they're more sort of suppliers than Fernandes is. And now, I'm sure United fans would disagree, but Fernandes probably for me, whenever I've watched him, at least he wants everything to go through him, which is a great trait in a player. But if you want everything to go through you, and you've got another player in the team that demands everything goes through them, one of them gets stifled inevitably. And I could well be wrong, but I'd imagine it'll be Fernandes. Despite his obvious output statistics, not too often have I watched Bruno Fernandes and thought he's a serious player. That's a controversial comment, but quite a few times in big games I've watched him and been slightly underwhelmed by his overall control of the game.
I agree, but I don't think he's that kind of player, is he? He's not your, you know, Xabi Alonso style controls the game. He is a match winner, basically. And I kind of agree with you that I've often been underwhelmed when I've seen him play in the games that he hasn't got goals in. But one thing I'm pretty sure all United fans would say is that without him, they definitely wouldn't have finished second.
Yeah. No. I think the rest of the league would agree with that.
Yeah, fair. But yeah, Portugal, very tough group as well.
They do. I can't see them getting out of it.
No. Well, they could if they come third. That is one of the groups, well, depending on what happens, obviously. But yeah, very tough group. But yeah, if we move on then to your ones to watch, looking for a particular player that you've got either a lot of love for or you're just touting them to have a really good tournament. It's like a breakout tournament for them. Who are you thinking?
If you were to have stopped that question before the breakout tournament and said and asked me for a player who I think is going to
well, who's just excel? Your one to watch that's not like Mbappe, the obvious answers.
Well, I mean, are you talking about players who I enjoy watching, or
no? Who I think are going to
leave a stamp on the tournament? Because I think Gareth Bale could well get Wales out of that group against all the odds. I think Gareth Bale's probably. Yeah, if you look at that group, Italy, Switzerland, Turkey, Wales, I think Wales could get out of that in second place. And if they're going to, it'll be the Gareth Bale show. Now, I know that's not necessarily...
Not if Ozan Kabak has anything to say about it.
Yeah, God, he'll be pumped, won't he, Ozan? Poor lad. We even wrote a song about him and then he never got to hear it. Yeah. Player to watch for me, another midfielder who I love and... is probably on that list of ideal Ginny replacements, but also a Ginny replacement that we would not be able to afford is Ryan Gravenberch. I'm looking forward to watching Holland play.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And he put in a couple of good performances against us. And just every time I catch bits of Ryan Gravenberch playing, he just looks like, similar to Bellingham, a midfielder that can do absolutely everything. He's 19 years old. He's big, strong. He can shoot. He can score. He can run with the ball. He can tackle. Just my kind of midfielder. And I'm looking forward to watching him play. Again, do I think he's going to dominate the tournament? Perhaps not. My answer to your question, and I know I've clarified this by saying I don't think England will do too well, but I think Jack Grealish is going to make a name for himself on the international scene. I think everyone in England who at least watches Jack Grealish regularly is fully aware that he's a world-class footballer or has the ability to be. I think he's going to show it here. I think for all the chat about the Fodens and the Sanchos and the Sterlings and the Canes, I think Grealish is probably going to be... Well, I love Jack Grealish. I love watching him play. I think he's going to be England's most important player if England are to do well.
It's funny you say that because I had Grealish written as my number one.
Did you
to
actually?
Watch as well? Yeah. My one fear is that he just doesn't start. I think it's 100% it's crazy, nailed on. It's mad to think that we've both touted him. And I'll also say that he is a world-class talent, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's bonkers that you just don't... I can't be 100%. I'm not even like 80% sure that he's going to start. Assuming Mount is definitely going to start, because Southgate loves him.
Southgate absolutely loves Mason Mount, doesn't he?
And then, so it's two of Rashford, Grealish, Sterling, Foden, and well, yeah, two of those four, and it's really hard to call who that two will be.
It is.
I think it will be one of Grealish and Foden. I can't imagine both of them playing.
See, I think he should start both of them. Whether he will or not, I don't know. But if you think back to like iconic individual performances from England players in big tournaments, if France 98, who comes to mind? I mean, obviously every Liverpool fan will be remembering it fondly from how they remembered it at the time. But Michael Owen was England's standout player in France 98, aside from Beckham getting sent off, obviously. But he wasn't starting initially. I could see Grealish sort of, it feels strange to talk about form in the space of a tournament because tournaments, you know, aren't many games in total. But I could see Grealish maybe even not starting, but having an impact coming on and making himself undroppable, basically.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think the moment he gets his chance, it will be blindingly obvious, as it has been in both the warm-up games, that he's our main man, I think.
It's a funny one for Grealish because obviously he served his time in the Championship and he's always been Villa's main man. But I look at him and I just think he's a big stage footballer, but he's never really had the stage. Obviously, he's played in big games in the Championship to get them up and stuff, but he just... And it pains me to say this because I think he'll end up going to City, but he's a big stage footballer, Jack Grealish, and I can really see him turning it on, and
yeah, same.
And sort of rising to the pressure cooker that the English media inevitably always put the players under that they have. You know, the English media shred our chances before they even stepped on the pitch by, you know, demoralising everyone. But yeah. I think Grealish is cut from a different cloth, isn't he?
He'll thrive off it, I think.
Yeah, there's something about him. I love Jack Grealish. I really do.
Yeah, same. So the second on my list is, you're probably going to laugh at this, but it's Timo Werner.
I'm already laughing. Really interesting.
Yeah, the absolute miss merchant. But I just think it has to end sometime. And he gets in so many good positions. Like, I just can't see him going through the same poor form that he had for Chelsea, for Germany. Yeah. And it's purely based on the logic that he isn't a terrible finisher in general. Like, his Leipzig record shows that, and his Germany record. So it does need to end sometime. And I think Germany will create chances. They've got very dangerous wingers in Gnabry and Sané. And I just think he's going to have a reasonable tournament. And if he does have a good tournament, Germany will be a big threat.
Germany have got world-class players all over the pitch, haven't they? Again, really. Toni Kroos, Joshua Kimmich, Gundogan if he plays, Goretzka if he plays, Müller if he plays. Like you say, Sané, Gnabry, Havertz if he wants to play. Yeah. I mean, Werner, despite all the quality that we've just listed, Werner almost certainly has to start for them, right?
Yeah, they don't have a lot of striking options.
Yeah. I mean, who even is their other forward?
Good question.
I don't even know who the other option is.
Yeah, fuck knows. Their next biggest goal threat would probably be Gnabry, wouldn't it?
No, Serge Gnabry, yeah. Yeah, they'll probably play two either side of the one, and the one basically has to be Timo Werner. I can't even think who their other striker is.
Oh, Volland.
Google tells me it's Kevin Volland, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's all right. He's reasonable. But
had his time in the sun, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's world class. But yeah, okay. So moving on from player to watch, then let's get your thoughts on who's the team to watch. Then, so avoiding France and, you know, the top three or four favourites, but who do you think is a bit of a dark horse, or who do you think is going to be a real threat that maybe isn't on the top of everyone's list?
Yeah, now, this is a really tough question to answer because, in my mind, France and Germany are the clear standouts in this tournament. And then there's a rung beneath them of teams that you would expect. What I'm saying with that is, for me, looking at the teams in this, the squads in this, and even the way the groups play out, there isn't really a dark horse. I think my answer is probably going to have to be, and it feels strange to say this in our generation, and to describe them as this, but one of the sleeping giants, can you call Spain a sleeping giant? What I mean by that is Spain are not anywhere near the top of people's list of who they're expecting to perform well. They're past their glorious best of earlier on in this generation. But I think Spain have a group that they'll probably win, and they've got enough quality in there to, you know, it wouldn't be a shocker if they ended up winning the tournament. I don't think they will.
But I think Spain are probably a team that people are overlooking, but overlook them with caution. I wouldn't fancy England drawing them.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, that, because if I'd have asked you instead, who do you think is going to flop the most? One of my answers would probably be Spain. Although I do expect them to win their group. But you have to go,
that's the thing, you have to go back to what's expected of them. I should caveat that answer by saying I don't really think there is a dark horse, as strange as that is to say.
Mm. Well, what do you think is expected? Like, do you think the Spain players think that they could win it? Because they're still full of class players. Like, the squad is still great. What they probably miss is a top-class striker.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably going to be Morata or Gerard Moreno leading the line for them. I don't rate Ferran Morata Torres at all. Ferran Torres, maybe, yeah. But so what do you think their expectations are then?
I think internally, well, by internally, I mean in Spain, I think the expectation is quite low. My brother lives in Madrid, so does your brother-in-law. Doesn't he? Is John still out there? Yeah.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Ol's impression is that not a great deal is expected of them. Ol's view on that is warped somewhat in that he lives in Madrid and knows a lot of Real Madrid fans who, you know, probably look at this squad quite strangely given they've got none of their own in it. But yeah, Ol seems to think that the expectation within Spain at least is low. I don't think there's much expected of them. Yeah. I mean, if they were to go out of the group, that would be a shock, I would say.
Yeah, they've especially got fairly, given the group fairly that they've got, group. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd expect them and Poland to get through that one, wouldn't you, really?
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I guess my pick is kind of similar to yours. I also agree that I wouldn't say there are like a real dark horse team. So I've gone for another sleeping giant as such, and I'm going to pick Italy. And the reason I'm going to pick Italy is because I think, kind of similar to Spain, a lot of people write them off because they've been aging for a long time now, but a couple of those players have now moved on. And Mancini's record is unbelievable. I think it's over 70% win record.
And they
smashed their qualifying. They won all 10 matches, and they're currently, I saw this yesterday, they're on a 26-game unbeaten run, which is unbelievable. And what I do like about Italy is that they have shifted on some of the older players, but they've still got the likes of Bonucci and Chiellini, as well as the young group that are now coming through. And I really like Nicola Barella as well of Inter Milan. But I do think that a lot rests on Immobile and Belotti up front, because you've always had, for a long time now, it seems that Italy just haven't had a top-class striker. Even going back to tournaments, I remember when like Graziano Pelle was playing up front for them. And, you know, he was playing for Southampton. I can't remember the last time Italy went into a tournament with a proper world-class striker.
It's a strange definition of that, isn't it? Because if you didn't know anything about football and you just wanted to find out who the best players have been in the world over the last 10 years, if you didn't know a thing about football, you'd probably look at who's been scoring the most goals in the European leagues. And, you might imagine that Serie A was one of them. Ciro Immobile is all up there in the goal
scoring charts.
He's
actually a weapon, isn't he, in Serie A? Yeah,
he is.
But
I don't particularly like him, though.
No.
He's not the sort of player that you play against and you get concerned about in the way that, let's say, a Lukaku is, or, any other host of strikers that are also up there in their goal scoring charts. But like you say, Italy do have some quality throughout, don't they? They've got obviously Insigne and Immobile, Federico Chiesa is a bit of a player, Verratti's still around. Jorginho's obviously.
I think Verratti's injured for the first couple of games, but yeah.
Oh, is he?
They've also got a fairly easy group, haven't they? Alongside, Spain, Turkey, Wales, and Switzerland is the other teams in their group. I'd definitely expect them to win that group.
I mean, their team is still household names. I don't know off the top of my head who would play fullback for them, but obviously Donnarumma would be in goal, and then, as you say, Bonucci and Chiellini.
They've got Florenzi, haven't they?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Italy, sleeping giants. I just expect them. They're always a good tournament team as well. I'd expect them to win their group, and I wouldn't want to draw them, put it that way.
No, it's a good shout from you there, Italy. Yeah, they've got quite a fine group. Who do you think will go through that group? Italy, Switzerland, Turkey, Wales?
I like your call with Wales there. I do think they've got a good shot. I really do. I think the Swiss are fucking awful, to be honest. Like, Shaqiri is still their shining light, and he's just not at it anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I don't expect the Swiss to be particularly good. I think Turkey are okay. They've got Yilmaz, who's just had a really good season, hasn't he? And obviously they've got Kavak, which... Fucking Ozan, yeah. But, I mean, realistically, you're looking at both of those teams, and if you're a Wales fan, you'll be looking at both of them thinking, like, we've got a real chance here of getting out of this group. I don't think either of them have too much to offer. But the other easy group, of course, is the Netherlands group, Austria, North Macedonia and Ukraine. That's a bit of a grim group as well, isn't it? That's the easiest one, isn't it?
I did like the shout from Davey that Depay should be considered the golden boot option, given that
he's going to be very dangerous, I think. I also think Genie's going to have a great tournament. He's always good for the Netherlands, and in that more advanced role, I wouldn't be surprised if he got 3 or 4 goals in the tournament.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a surprise, would it? I love that Holland midfield, Wijnaldum, Gravenberch and De Jong.
I can't wait to see Frenkie de Jong, I have to say, because he's been touted as like the Xavi Iniesta replacement for such a long time. But he obviously hasn't had the best start to life at Barcelona. He's been good, from what I believe. But I haven't watched too much of him, to be fair, since that transfer. So I'm really intrigued to see how good he actually is, basically.
Yeah, same. Spare that thought, because I think Gravenberch will outshine him. But if you were going to give me £5 and say, put this on a player randomly to score goal of the tournament, I'll first ask you, where's your fiver going?
To score goal of the tournament? All right, let me have a think about this. Give me your answer while I have a quick think.
I've got one.
Mine was of the same thought process as yours. Harry Wilson. Give him a free kick 35 yards out for Wales and he'll bang it top bins.
He won't be taking it.
Bale will be injured after the first game though, so Wilson will be coming and he'll lead them to glory.
Boost his transfer value as well. Go on, Harry.
Oh dear. All right. Let's move on to England then. So, firstly, let's start with your lineup prediction for the first game against Croatia. So, who are you thinking he's going to play, and what formation? Because that is tricky as well.
Oh, it's horrible thinking about how Southgate uses his options, because we've got Gareth Southgate's managerial career is so average. So average. It's a real shame. I mean, he seems like a nice fella, doesn't he, Gareth Southgate? And supposedly he's written a nice little piece in the Players' Tribune before the tournament, which I haven't yet read. But it's a real shame that he's in charge of this generation of footballers. Because England do, in terms of quality of footballer, England have one of the better squads. But in the way that we've just looked at the... I'm digressing here. But in the way that we've just looked at the Italy squad and you've caveated it by saying that Italy do well at tournaments, they've got a tournament mentality as a nation. The rest of the world probably look at England and think the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the world probably look at some of the historical squads England have had, the undoubted world-class talent that they've had throughout the pitch, and gone, how on earth have England never done particularly well at a tournament? So I'd start by saying that, Southgate's the weakest member of the squad for me, which is a big claim. I think if you give that playing squad to a different manager, it all looks very different.
Yeah, but I agree.
Yeah, in terms of what I think he'll do versus what I'll do, I'll go with what I think he'll do. I think he'll probably have... there's talk of the back three, isn't there? So I think he'll probably end up going... I don't even know, to be honest, mate. I don't even know.
I don't Walker think he will Shaw. Go for a back three.
Should we work on the basis that we don't think he will? Because I wouldn't have thought he would, given that Maguire's missing. But
let's work on the basis that he's not. I think he'll try and get the additional attacking player in there because of the form that they're in. I think if we went for 5 defenders, I think it'd be absolute madness, considering how many good attackers we've got. One player we haven't even mentioned when we were talking earlier is Sancho as well. When I listed those 4 players, he's the 5th. didn't even mention him, but he's another one. He could easily start. But considering talents we've got, if we went for a back five, I think it's absolutely bonkers.
I know. See, even someone like Bukayo Saka seems to play really well whenever he puts an England shirt on. It's so different
performing internationally than it is at club level. I mean, my brother raised a good point the other day that people seem to think that Paul Gascoigne was an absolutely elite footballer and that John Barnes wasn't. And that sort of like wider consensus seems to be based on their performances for England, when the truth is almost the opposite is the case. John Barnes was an unbelievable footballer, but it didn't really happen for England. There are certain players that seem to do much better in an England shirt than they do elsewhere. Now, I know Saka's absolutely class for Arsenal, but he seems to really step his level up when he plays for England.
I wonder if it's because historically, a lot of the big names have played for huge clubs.
Yeah.
So where do they rate, you know, what's more important to them? Winning the league and the Champions League or playing for England? Whereas I think if you're someone like Saka playing for Arsenal at the moment, by far his biggest games of the season will be, if he plays, the Euros games, you know. And you could kind of say that's Gascoigne as well. His peak was playing for England.
Euro 96, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, whereas probably not. Probably when you look at someone like Lampard and Gerrard and, you know, Rooney and stuff, their peaks weren't probably playing for England. It was, you know, or equally club level, they were just as good. And I do think that probably plays into it, because I get that feeling from Grealish as well. That
so do I. Moment, that's what I mean.
Because he's at Villa, this is what he absolutely lives for.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with that. Whether that's in Southgate's thinking or not, I don't know. Let's work on the basis that he plays with a back four then. I think it's going to end up being Kyle Walker and Luke Shaw at fullback. Sorry, Pickford in goal. Kyle Walker and Shaw.
See, I think Chilwell will start.
Do you?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if Trippier starts as well.
He does love Kieran Trippier, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah. So I'll go Trippier and Chilwell.
But it wouldn't stun me if he uses a back three and Walker right centre-back again, because he did that at the last tournament with Trippier right-back. To be honest, mate, I don't really know or care who he plays centre-back.
Well, it's going to be John Stones, isn't it?
It's Stones plus probably Mings. He seems
probably
to like Tyrone Mings.
Yeah. I hate Tyrone Mings.
I wouldn't have even taken Tyrone Mings, to be honest. But
no.
I think Conser's better. I think Godfrey's better. But anyway, I'll probably say he's going to go Walker, Mings, Stones and Shaw, which is underwhelming. It's fine, but it's underwhelming. And then he's perhaps going to go... It's really hard to call, isn't it? I don't know. Rice and Mount?
Yeah, I've got Rice and Mount as my two as well.
And then...
Your three?
Rashford, Foden, Grealish?
Yeah, that's exactly Kane. What I've got as well, which lit and Kane up front.
I don't... It's the hard one to call. There are so many players who are interchangeable within that. I don't think Sancho will start... But you could so easily slot him in there. As Sterling will be upset to not be in the England starting 11 as well.
Mm. Yeah, he will. What it does mean, I guess, though, is that we do have options off the bench, which makes quite a nice change. You know, if you go back a few years and look at some of the change options that we've got, it's a massive drop-off, really, from the starting 11.
Yeah, it certainly is.
All right, so
I'm not sure about that.
We're in agreement there.
It's not necessarily what I would do, and I also don't like that central two of Mount and Rice. For a start, Mount doesn't ever play there for Chelsea, so I'm not sure why he'd be playing there for England. But the media seems to think that's what Gareth Southgate's going to do, and if you ask people, they think that's what Southgate will do. It seems like a way of crowbarring his best mate Mason Mount into the team, if you ask me. As much as he gets touted around as, you know, an option for the Chelseas and Uniteds, and even sometimes for us, I'm not quite sure about Rice at that level yet. I think he could well become a footballer that is comfortable at that level, but I'm not quite sure about him at that level yet.
So
I just don't know about
Rice. What would you do with Henderson?
I'd put Henderson straight back into the team as soon as he's fit enough to. Certainly at Rice's expense, I don't think you need both of them unless they're playing together as the two.
The other option, I guess, is that one of the front three misses out, Mount pushes forwards, and Calvin Phillips plays.
That's probably more likely, or even Jude Bellingham.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Calvin Phillips. I'm going to say that right now.
I like him, but he is...
I think he's touted way above his level, like way above his level. I don't know what it is about him, but he seems to be well-liked by the media as like a hot, up-and-coming English player. But you compare him to someone like Jack Wilshere back in the day. There's, you know, he's nowhere near that level that Wilshere was when he was that age.
I mean, Calvin Phillips wouldn't get anywhere near the starting 11 for some of the better teams in the tournament. Teams in the tournament. Yeah. He wouldn't get anywhere near the France or Germany squad. He wouldn't get anywhere near the Spain squad. He shouldn't be starting for England in an international tournament. Don't get me wrong, I like him. He can do everything.
You're right, though. He's not that young anymore either.
No. I think the media have a soft spot for him because A, Leeds are quite well-liked at the moment, widely. B, he was in the team when he was a championship player, which always sort of gets people's gas up a bit. He seems like a nice enough fella, doesn't he? And Leeds fans absolutely adore him. It's much easier to dislike players from a rival team. And, you know, unless you're an age-old United fan, Leeds aren't anyone's necessary direct rivals at the moment, are they? So there's not much hatred poured on him. And he's not a sort of glaring errors kind of player. He keeps it neat and tidy. It's hard to sort of... Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be starting Calvin Phillips, but as you say, it wouldn't stun me if Southgate did. Yeah. No space for Bellingham then? No?
No. I think we'll use him. I really do think we'll use him, but I can't see him starting in the first game. But I do think he's
another
be one
like Grealish. That could make himself undroppable.
Exactly. I was literally about to say, I think he would be one where if he does play, he will grasp it because he is excellent and I'm really impressed by him. So,
yeah, mate, he was so good against City in both legs. I know they went out, but he was fantastic there.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. I think I'd be more comfortable with him starting than Calvin Phillips, to be honest.
So would I. I'd rather Bellingham start than Rice. Although what I would say is if Mount is going to play as one of those midfielders, then the other one has to be Rice or Henderson.
Yeah, true. All right.
Who plays central midfield for Croatia these days?
Well, Kovacic Modric, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. They used to play... Did they play with a... They used to play Perisic.
Perisic still plays, still start, he'll be on the wing, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But did they used to... I can't remember whether they played a three or a four. I actually can't remember. Because Brozovic is there as well still, isn't he? It'd probably be Modric, Brozovic and Kovacic in a three.
Yeah.
And then Perisic and one other. Rebic, maybe? Either side of...
Kramaric
will
play up front. Kramaric will be up front.
Oh, yeah, true. I think Rebic played wide
Rebic.
Last tournament.
They also had... Who was the... Pjaka, was it? Who went to Juve and then did his ACL and basically has ruined his career.
Miralem Pjaka.
No.
Yeah, he's not going though.
They've got Badelj as well, who still plays centre mid. But it does feel like they're ageing.
But what I was looking at really is how they'll set up, because they'll overrun us. If they play with Kovacic, Modric and Brozovic, they'll absolutely overrun us in midfield if we play with Mount and Rice. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes with as we've said, a 4-3-3 kind of 4-2-3-1 setup, and perhaps even plays Mount with two more traditional central midfielders.
Yeah. I agree that could happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we should set up in a reactive manner to Croatia. I'd be much more up for the idea of having a proactive. And, you know, say, look, we're going to come at you. You're going to have to stop us rather than thinking about whether we're going to get overrun by Kovacic, Modric and Brozovic. But
100%. I mean, if we're looking at their defence, we will cause them so many problems if we're positive. I mean, Lovren's still one of their key players.
And he still has nightmares thinking about that time Kane tied him in knots.
Exactly. And
well, he probably doesn't, does he, Dejan? He backs himself.
He does back himself. But we should cause them a whole host of problems, really. I also hope that we're really positive and we just go out there to outplay him. Because Modric is not the same player that he was when they bossed us in the World Cup.
He's not the same player, but he was. I very much thought, as I did in the Kiev final, I very much thought when we drew Madrid in the Champions League this year that we'll run rings around Modric and Kroos in midfield, and we didn't get anywhere near them again.
Yeah, but we were poor. We were afraid. Chelsea did exactly what we should have done and ran him off the park.
Well, yeah, we're not going to be doing that with Calvin Phillips and Rice in midfield.
No, we're not, to be fair. But yeah, it's a good point. All right, what's your prediction then for England?
I don't know. And I should say, I don't really care as much as some people. I know that's a strange thing to say. I'm more excited about the tournament football than, don't get me wrong, it would be a good occasion if England won, but I'm not as passionate about England succeeding as some people might well be. Prediction-wise, well, if we win the group, we're out, aren't we? Because if we win the group, we're playing against France or Germany, so we're out. That's my prediction, actually.
So you think we'll win the group, draw the runner-up of Group F, which is France,
which
Germany,
would be probably Germany,
or Portugal,
and then we'll go out. Yeah,
I think we'd beat Portugal if we drew them.
But Portugal aren't going to finish second in that group, are they? I think they're Germany will finish second.
I also think we'll win the group and get knocked out in the first knockout round. But if we did finish runners up. Do I care? Yes, I do. I'm in that horrible, horrible position where a tournament comes and goes. Afterwards, I say, I fucking hate England. It's so boring. And then the next tournament arrives and I'm like caught up in the frenzy. And then suddenly I'm absolutely pumped for it. So, yeah, I do care. I really do this year. Well, I do.
My relationship with England has changed greatly because I've always viewed England, and I can say this freely on a Liverpool podcast, and any non-Liverpool fans listening, probably some of our mates, will slaughter me for this. But my relationship with the England football team has largely been pinned on the individual performances of the Liverpool players within the England team.
you're definitely right there. And I do think if Trent had gone, I would have been a lot more passionate.
This is the thing. I'm supporting Jordan Henderson at this tournament. I'm not really supporting England. So if Henderson's not on that pitch leading the England team, because let's be honest, we all know that Henderson leads the England team. Southgate knows that Henderson leads the England team. He even talked about that before the penalty saga. He talks about Henderson's influence being a captain's return. It's like, well, why have you picked Harry Kane as your captain then, mate? But when it was supporting Gerrard's and, you know, before leaving Michael Owens and Heskey's and Fowler's, it was a lot more enjoyable supporting England then. But without Trent and without Henderson being in the team, I find it a little bit harder to associate with these players who week in, week out, I usually dislike. Jack Grealish is the only boy in that team who I really like.
Yeah, no, you are right.
He's going to go to City, so I may as well enjoy it before he's at City. But
yeah, well, use it as a scouting sesh for us when we get lit with Sancho and Bellingham again.
Yeah, we can watch Duje Caleta-Carr on the first England game.
Exactly.
And think
exactly.
what could have been.
So we'll wrap up then with you've basically said it, but who's your winner?
France at a canter.
Yeah, I think it's really, really hard to think of anyone else who's anywhere near that level of quality throughout the entire squad as well. I mean, Belgium have a superb first 11. Whether or not they've got the full squad of France, I don't think they have. I think Germany are probably the closest, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, Belgium have still got some players, even arguably in their starting lineup, that wouldn't get in our squad or France's squad.
Yeah,
I agree. Belgium have got some quality players, but they've still got some, I guess we've got centre-back difficulties, but like their defence is still bloody Vertonghen, Alderweireld and Vermaelen, isn't it? Yeah. And they've got lads like Nasser Chadli still there, and, you know, someone like Dendonker at Wolves that probably wouldn't get in the England squad. I do agree they've got quality throughout, but yeah. It's just France for me. Can't see any other outcome. But going back to your scouting report, keep a close eye on Jeremy Doku, who Liverpool continue to get linked to. Young Rennes striker. well, wide forward. Similar statistical output to Mane, which our scouting department continue to love, and he's a name that keeps popping up.
Is he going to play?
Looking, I don't think he'll play. They've got the Hazard brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
Mertens are still there.
You don't know how fit Hazard is, though. I'd love him to play, but yeah. Well, the other one in the Belgian team that we're heavily linked with is Tielemans.
So, are you buying this? It seems I don't really believe it. He doesn't. I'm not sure. Do you buy it?
I don't know. I mean, it's everywhere, isn't it? That we're in
everywhere.
For it. And 50 million is quite a nice price, I think. But I don't know. Would he get in our team? Probably not.
He would in Ginny's absence. But if you're asking,
what do you think? I like Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago is surely going to be the midfield three.
Yes, it will. Yeah, yeah. But Henderson and Thiago aren't going to be playing full seasons, are they really? But I think Liverpool, tangent here, but Liverpool certainly need another midfielder. I'd be okay with Tielemans. I would much rather splash that money on Gravenberch or Bellingham. But the name Youri Tielemans won't go away when it comes to Liverpool transfer links. It's just, I don't really... Like, again, he's a top-class player and he can do a bit of everything, but he doesn't strike me as the sort of player that our recruitment department would be looking at.
No. He doesn't fit our team, I don't think.
He doesn't really fit our recruitment model either.
No.
But anyway, I read on Twitter, he seemed to make sort of an emotional farewell at the end of the season. Like, a lot is pointing towards him leaving.
Well, there you go then. Keep tabs. And that plays into my Belgium shout. But yeah, I will also go France as the winner. But yeah, let's see what happens. Fingers crossed England can do something. And fingers crossed, basically, the most important thing that we're both agreeing on is Jordan Henderson escapes this tournament without another fucking injury. And on that note, big up England. Let's go. Thanks for listening, everyone.